Ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by the Peconic Land Trust. That's right, Peconic Land Trust has helped create miles of hiking trails, scenic vistas, clean and productive bays, wetlands, drinking water protection, you name it. In addition, they provided access to locally grown agricultural products. Did you know that? Peconic Land Trust. Mr. DePiro, very good morning to you, sir. Robert? Rob there? I don't hear him. I don't know where he is. All right, so Rob's disappeared. He's probably shoveling some snow.
I'm here.
There you go. Back from shoveling. Yes. How are you, my friend?
Not bad, Jay. Did you happen to catch the little bit of sharp criticism by Chris Cuomo last night regarding his brother? He's beginning to look a little bit concerned about this nursing home situation. And it got me to start looking. Go ahead.
I didn't see it. You know, it's interesting. The night before, now he was told the day before by Jeff Zucker at CNN he was not allowed to interview his brother, you know, like they did, you know, the old Rowan and Martin Laffin scenario they had back in May with a large Q-tip and everything else. He wasn't, Zucker told him, you know, can't do that. It's very serious stuff. So what happened last night? I didn't catch it.
I saw the clip of it where he kind of directly accuses him of being Trump-like. Which was unexpected, it got me to start looking into, wow, Cuomo as the same as Trump, and I started then to think, everybody's into conspiracies these days. I started to look at the old Lincoln-Kennedy eerie similarities, if you remember those old tales.
Sure.
So, you know, Lincoln was, you know, shot from a warehouse, taken to a theater, Kennedy, the reverse, and that the main proof that they were the same person was that the Lincoln and Kennedy had seven letters in their last name. Well, I give you this fact, Jay. Trump and Cuomo, five letters, both in
their
last name.
Wow. You know, I'm going to have to look that up from last night and see that. So he compared his brother to being Trump-like, is what you're saying?
Fox News ran the clip.
Wow. How about that? I'm going to have to view that. Interesting. Listen, he's in trouble. You know, Cuomo's in trouble right now. You know, he's feeling the heat from all sides. He's not going to be able to dodge this. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. What comes out of it? The very least, he's up for re-election next year. But we'll see what happens. His powers have to be stripped. His emergency powers have to be stripped without question right away. And already, you know, you have stuff being formed for next week to be voted on. It's hot and heavy right now up in Albany. Let's get to some stuff here, though.
Well,
you heard Lance comes on with me yesterday from the Shinnecocks. You got a casino. That is going to happen within the next, as Gums said, and by the way, Lance comes on with me a little bit later on. We'll talk about the billboard stuff. But that's going to happen. The casino's going to happen right off Montauk Highway, correct?
Correct. And, you know, I know that there are, you know, situations that are not going to make this, you know, be embraced by the community. There's business owners in the Southampton area that, at least for now, are definitely not happy with this plan. Also not happy with the plan to locate the casino at the Southampton-Montauk Highway site, or Southampton Supervisor Jay Schneiderman, also State Assemblyman Fred Thiel. And they're talking about the site chosen, not just the fact that there's going to be a casino run by the Indian Nation. I've always thought that once they settled the situation with the former Grumman property and that it was finally, you know, the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted, that would make the perfect sense for the casino, because that way you have traffic going in and out in a lot of different ways. Of course, I spoke to Lance Gums the other day, And he said, well, if you look at Foxwoods, you don't exactly have anything much different than Montauk Highway. You have really pretty much, you know, like a one-road, two-lane situation, you know, mainly in and around Foxwoods. Now, however, you know, Foxwoods is located in a state where there's 1,000 ways to get around any kind of traffic situation. You do know that you have a lot of people that bought homes now during the pandemic. The summer is going to always be the summer traffic, but now you're going to have additional traffic. I'm sure this is what the concerns are from the politicians. However, Lance did tell me that they've gotten no cooperation from any situation they've ever endured, the Graves. He brought up a lot of good points to me on the phone. He brought up a lot of good points to you. This has a ticking clock to it, because if they're going to relocate, if the state and the town are going to successfully get the proposed casino to relocate to, let's say, Grumman, they're going to have to do it by next week, because the plans are already underway to begin building this casino. And I'm sure the Indian Nation has, you know, architects that they have to pay to draft every, you know, that's already been drafted, but the work's going to have to start, you know, beginning to be undertaken soon. So if they're going to relocate a casino and then get the Indian Nation to somehow agree to it, they can't wait until the bulldozer starts, you know, clearing land, I don't know, next month. The casino's supposed to be up and running by 2023. You do have, I spoke to one business owner in the Eastport area that was thrilled with the fact that there's a casino coming to, you know, Southampton. Of course, this business owner isn't from Southampton. So whatever agreement, if there is an agreement, they're going to have to get this thing done very quickly. I mean, you see how the Indian Nation put those billboards up very fast. They're not ones to wait around.
No. You know, the one thing with the relocation, though, I'm just wondering how that would work, because we're not talking tribal land here on the move. So how, right. I mean, wouldn't they have more of an impasse trying to get approval there when they have their own land where they can build it? I mean, there's sovereignty and everything else, federal sovereignty. So in essence, wouldn't that throw another wrench into this thing by at least contemplating this?
No, because it would be under, it would be an agreement. It would be like ironclad, like in exchange for you, you know, giving up the right to have this on your land. Then effectively, you could almost weirdly say, well, the tribal land now becomes this new area. You follow what I'm saying? The state, yeah. And the state agency would, obviously the state has to approve this, because I know that was pitched about 10, 12 years ago. That was the arrangement, that if you move here, this will be considered your area. No one will ever take that from you. But yeah, it is a thorny issue. My guess, if you really want to get down to it, Jay, is that in 2023, there'll be a casino open and operating right across from Southampton College, right on the grounds. You'll be able to, I mean, it's going to be on Montauk Highway. I don't think there's any stopping it at this point.
No, there's not going to be any stopping of it. And listen, he brought up some very good points yesterday, very good points. I mean, think about it. And he brought up these, as he put it, these McMansions, all kinds of development there. Does anybody ever consult the nation? No. You know, so listen, they have been thwarted forever here. And at this point in time, and they've gotten a lot done as far as approval. And listen, I go back when I started in Riverhead and broadcasting for RIV, I was there, what, 06? This has been bandied about forever, this casino talk. But now it's come to fruition. So expect the casino. You know, expect it. Live with it. You know, that's what it is. I mean, listen, look at Jake's 58. Now, it's not going to be that magnitude. You don't have a hotel and everything in play. But, you know, it's going to be there in kind of smaller fashion. But it is going to be there. There's no question.
It would have to be a sweetening of the pot to first of all, to get them to move, because they hold all the cards right now. It's a reservation. And, you know, there's like Lance did say, you know, we're basically he's saying, you know, your laws are your laws and our laws are our laws as, you know, issued out in the whole reason for the land set aside for reservations. So right now, if you have to look at it and if you have to listen to what Lance Gumbs mentioned yesterday and to me on the phone, his arguments are very valid. The state's going to have a lot of work to do to stop this. And if they can't stop it, they're going to have a lot of work to do to convince them to not have the casino there, but another location.
No doubt about it, Rob. And listen, everything he said was right. You can't fight it. Everything he said was 100% accurate.
Now,
Rob DePiro, the East End Report.
Oh, we did mention, yeah, right, it's going to be 76,000 square feet. I'm sure you know about that. It's going to include a bingo parlor, 1,000 video lottery terminals, and 30 Texas Hold'em games. This is according to officials announcing the agreement on Wednesday.
Class 2, not Class 3. That would entail the tables and everything else. That would be, you know, it wouldn't be in play. But in essence, expected, folks. Let's go to reform, police reform, Southampton and everything else. Listen, it's about getting things in place. The governor's request from July. Southampton's going to be doing a couple of different things. Diversity, body cameras, which are cued. You heard the Sarge before with me. Body cams are essential at this point in time. But everybody kind of making way as far as reforms here.
Yeah, and one part of that, Jay, is to, as far as the diversity angle, Southampton's police chief, Stephen Skarnecki, said a group of chiefs has asked the New York State to look into the civil service process to give local municipalities more flexibility in hiring. It basically looked at, you know, reexamine maybe residency that you have to live within the township. I think there's information here from what the state, New York State Division of Criminal Justice's services data, as far as the makeup of the police department of Southampton Town. I think there's about 100 full-time officers back in 2019, but only 4 identified as black and 6 identified as Hispanic. And one of the committee members, Minerva Perez, she's the executive director of Organización Latino Americana of Eastern Long Island. She tells Newsday, quote, we need to start showing the representation, which is a good point. Now, the body cam, that doesn't come cheap, Jay. It's going to be very expensive. It's going to take a few years to enact. So I think it's going to be, I think they experimented with it. I think they had 2 police vehicles back earlier last year that they had body cam equipment on it. So they probably sensed this was probably going to eventually get to this point. Now, this would end up being, though, a department-wide body cam program, though. So this would be like every officer, you know, every car.
Well, you know, listen, it's something is needed here. There's just too much coming out of incidents, and people need to know, you know, some of the background information. They're not getting it with this. It's foolproof. So, you know, listen, however long it takes, they must somehow get it going and enact whatever they have to here. It's so important. Rob, yeah, go ahead.
Riverhead, though, has the town's police department has announced March 16th. They're going to release their police form draft report.
Interesting. So let's see what happens. And listen, everybody's got to get it going here based on the mandate. Rob, with the East End stuff, what else is going on out there that we need to know?
Well, you're going to have Suffolk County Department of Health has chosen a high school to conduct a mass vaccination sometime in March or I think actually probably April in 2 months. Sometime early April, mass vaccinations in Southampton at the high school. Now, the Southampton Board of Education, you know, approved the plan, which would allow Suffolk County's Department of Health to distribute the vaccines. Now, the plan is going to happen, but it wasn't smooth, you know, with initial concerns from Superintendent Nicholas Dino and Board President Jacqueline Robinson. This is according to the Southampton Press. They're saying, hey, you know, we've done a phenomenal job keeping our schools clean. You know, we're not going to be running this program. We need some assurances that our school remains clean. You're going to have everybody entering it that, you know, doesn't work here. You're going to have the public. So you know, they want to make sure that everything is as clean and sanitary as when, you know, up until this point. Of course, it will be done on a weekend, Jay. And, of course, you're going to, you know, any community member is going to have to register, and whoever is eligible come, I guess, you know, by the first couple weeks in April. Of course, there should be more people eligible, or maybe it'll just be the same eligibility as now. This vaccination thing run by the state so far has been kind of a little bit of a mini disaster. But the fact is more people are getting vaccinated. Eastport South Manor actually had a vaccination at their school a month ago, and all went well. So let's hope that Southampton's goes as well as Eastport's South Manor's district.
No question. They need the supply. You know that. They got to ramp it up a little bit. But they need, listen, they have had these sites pop up. East Hampton now. It started in Jones Beach. It started at Stony Brook U. You needed more sites, without question. But again, with that, you could have a million sites. If you don't have the medicine, it doesn't matter. You know, and that's why it's so important. The weather didn't help this week because that's hampered the distribution now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's still an odd situation occurring where if you speak to Trump supporters, they kind of chuckle at the fact that anybody needs to get vaccinated. And then when you speak to the liberal side, which you think would be a slam dunk, they kind of shrug and go, we're not getting vaccinated. So it's a very odd thing that transcends two political parties. You would think that one side would be all for vaccination and one wouldn't, but you have way too many people on both ends. It's almost like they look at that idea as being either a Trump idea or a Biden idea. It's very odd.
Listen, bottom line is, and you heard Craig before, if 17% gets the shot, you're going to cut down the fatalities immensely. The number is astronomical. So, you know, we talk about herd immunity and everything else. 17, that's it, 17. You know, we talk about in the beginning, it was 70%. So you have herd immunity, but think about the numbers. Man, I'll tell you. Now, we have another situation regarding insurance fraud. What's the latest on that?
It was an East Quogue man, one of five arrested. This is 27 East broke this story the other day, selling fake insurance to those in the Latino and immigrant community who probably otherwise weren't able to obtain it. You had 45-year-old Eddie Beltran Reyes of East Quogue. His partners in crime would take cash from these unsuspecting Latino claimed that they were providing them with legitimate automobile coverage. They even had a name of the company. It's called Protect Auto Insurance Company. They would even have a printer. One of the things that the investigators found was, you know, printers at one of the homes or businesses that they were where this was being run out of. Suffolk County District Attorney Tim Seney says that anyone who has been duped by this to call 631-833-4232. Seney's department said that the search warrants recovered 14 Virginia license plates, fake inspection stickers, mobile printers, as I mentioned, just about $12,000 in cash, Jay. So this was a pretty big operation here run by just five people. But the bottom line is what the recipients thought they were getting by way of insurance cards and even registration ended up being worthless pieces of paper.
Yeah, good job by Cini and that office. So Very serious stuff.
I guess we'll
anything else?
Up, go ahead. We have the whole deal with, again, that wind farm in Waynescott. It just keeps, you know, rattling, rattling sabers. You had the two Democrats that, at least initially, were against the offshore wind farm, which, by the way, the East Hampton Town Board did pass by a 4-1 vote, so it will happen. Of course, now you have the lawsuit by the Waynescott Citizens Group. However, you have the Democrat East Hampton Town Democratic Nomination Committee the other night, and one councilman, Jeff Bragman, he failed to get any support for renomination. And Trustee Rick Drew, who initially questioned the need for the wind farm, or at least where it was going to be located, he then came around and actually, you know, supported it. However, both shown the door by the East Hampton Town Party the other night. I think Drew, from what 27 East is maintaining, is even though he initially fought against Orsted Wind Project, once there was enough legislation put in to that Orsted Wind had to abide by, I think that kind of annoyed some within the Democratic Party. So those who were against it will now no longer be in position to have any future say on it. Meanwhile, Waynescott's incorporation bid will continue. That's an odd one, because you would figure the Democratic Party would be all in with, because they are all in with, you know, renewable energy, clean energy. And here in East Hampton, you know, town, you pretty much had almost a little bit of a civil war dispute there.
Rob's report, sponsored by the Peconic Land Trust, working with landowners, community members, and local government, the trust. Gorgeous places to explore throughout 13,000 acres, folks, of land preserved. The Peconic Land Trust. Find out more, 631-283-3195. Rob DePiro, you stay safe. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
You too, Jay.